Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Last month, it was announced that an extra 8.1 million was being allocated to fix the worst roads in Northern Ireland. And like myself, I'm sure you encountered severe, deep potholes in roads as you headed home or headed out or headed away. There were potholes around us that were at least 6 inches deep and maybe more, and were damaging vehicles. And I was going to start a campaign to find out where the biggest hole in Northern Ireland was, but I thought, no, that's not the way to go. Infrastructure Minister John O'Dowd said that the money would help deliver additional resurfacing schemes and continue to address the poor condition of our road network. It came on top of an extra 1 million to fix potholes. Good news, wasn't it? Good news. But then you ask yourself, where did that money come from? Well, in part, some of the money came from the budget for what are called active travel grants, for which take-up was less than anticipated. We know that thanks to a Freedom of Information request made by one of our MLAs, Stephen Dunn. Why was there not a better uptake? Was it not publicised enough? Is there enough of an appetite for cycling? Well, let's chat about this with Councillor Seamus de Fuiche. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Not too bad.
How do you feel about this money being allocated to fixing the roads rather than being used for, as it was intentionally used for, or some of it, for active travel grants to encourage us not to use our cars, but to use bicycles, for instance?
Well, I think there's been a great deal of frustration about the rules that have been kind of put around some of the active travel measures and the funding around that in order to try and draw some of those things down and allow projects to actually proceed. So I think we have a big problem in Northern Ireland, and particularly in the Belfast area, that active travel measures are all the responsibility of the Department for Infrastructure. But in the South and in England and Scotland and Wales, it's local councils that have the powers in relation to delivering active travel measures. They're able to move ahead and advance kind of multi-year budgets for road and out schemes, things that we are campaigning and looking for, like the Belfast Cycle Network Delivery Plan, which includes things like the Ravenhill Road protected cycle lane in my own constituency. But unfortunately, the rules from the Department for Infrastructure are all set around one-year budget cycles. And anybody who knows anything about capital works or trying to get investment in the physical infrastructure in this place will know it's incredibly difficult to turn around some schemes within the space of a year. So what we're seeing is that money's being handed back or sent back to the Department for Infrastructure.
Yes. Do you think that money would have been sent back, that it would have been used had it been used in local government? It's interesting. I love your analysis of the definition really of spending in local government as opposed to the Stormont government.
Well, I think if councils and particularly, as I said, in the Belfast region, if we had the power and ability to get on with some of these projects ourselves and the resource that goes with them, I think you would see a lot more delivery than you would see from the Department of Infrastructure. I can say that having been on kind of both sides of this. I worked very, very closely with the previous Infrastructure Minister, Nicola Mallon. So I've seen the inside workings of the department as well as the outside workings of it. And I think there are significant flaws in their approach to active travel. We know that investment in active travel actually it improves the overall longevity of the rest of our roads, because you're actually taking more vehicles off the roads
So therefore less damage.
Therefore less damage. I mean, again, in my own area, I know one particular pothole that has to be filled in every 9 months because of the significant amount of road travel on it, and that's the junction of the Ormer Road and Rosetta Park. And anyone who knows that stretch of the road will know just how bad it is.
Yes.
Quite literally, you could set a clock by it. It is now every 9 months that has to be filled in. But that's because there's 40,000 to 60,000 cars every day use the Ormer Road. And instead of investing in measures like your protected cycle infrastructure, like moving ahead with other big infrastructure projects like Glider Phase 2, we're seeing the deterioration of roads because we have an entire setup that is orientated towards private cars.
I was reading some statistics, and one of the statistics that caught my eye was half the annual car journeys in Northern Ireland are less than 2 miles. If that's the case, could we not consider either cycling or walking those distances? That's half the journeys, 50%.
Well, I think the biggest challenge for people is feeling safe and confident that they can take those journeys either by, you know, walking, wheeling or cycling. And the reality is, in all of the kind of feedback that we will get from residents and from lobby groups and like Sustrans, is that people simply don't feel safe enough to use the roads for cycling, and there is limited footpath space in a lot of places. So we are having to make changes and having to make investments in relation to active travel to actually allow people the confidence to use those measures. But
it's that safety consideration, Seamus, that has caused what is shocking, a drop in the level of people taking walks or getting on their bikes. That seems to have, the statistics seem to show that there is, that the figures are falling for people using their bikes or walking.
Yeah, I think that's a significant issue, and you know, I've been of the view that for many years the Department of Infrastructure has been lacking in terms of its approach towards improving road safety for cyclists and pedestrians. I think there's another side to this as well, is that actually when you ask people, most people would prefer to be able to move to more forms of either active travel or public transit. And the problem is that they feel that there are not enough options out there for them, whether it's in terms of safety or whether it's in terms of the provision of service. The other side to that is people are sick and tired of spending their time stuck in congestion. I mean, just before the pandemic, people in Belfast were spending the same amount of time per year stuck in traffic as people in Los Angeles, one of the most car-congested cities in the world. So people, I think, are open to change. They want to see kind of less congested communities, healthier and cleaner communities with you know, less exposure to exhaust fumes and everything else that goes with congestion and traffic.
Yes.
But we need to see the Department for Infrastructure either commit to delivering things like the Belfast Cycle Network delivery plan, or alternatively devolving those powers down to councils with the resources to go with them so that we can actually get on with it and deliver projects.
We've got a text that says that most potholes are caused by HGV and bus vehicles. I'm not sure about that, but the same texter also says, would you go out and cycle or walk in weather like this morning? And I suppose that's a fair point. We come from a place where the weather is not always kind, where it can be inclement, and where cycling in particular can be an uncomfortable experience in weather like this. But there is a massive campaign to promote active travel on foot or by pedal, with increased investment in walkways and cycle paths expected in the near future. And you mentioned Sustrans, the charity. They have said, and I found this statistic interesting as well, that just £7.50 per head is spent on active travel here, compared to £17 in England, £24 in Wales, £64 in Scotland, £66 in the Republic. And that figure amounts to around 2% of the total departmental budget for Northern Ireland. Yet there's a clause in the new Climate Change Act which states the Department for Infrastructure must develop sectoral plans for transport, which set a minimum spend on active travel from the overall transport budgets of 10%. And yet, we're only using 2%. Is there not a political will to follow through on this?
I fear that there will be, a move towards quick fixes and easy fixes, and, unfortunately, in many instances, filling in a bit of tarmac is probably seen as being a quick fix. But, like I said, we have to take this in the round that investment in active travel as well as public transport is actually going to be more beneficial for everybody altogether. So, again, if the Department for Infrastructure cannot commit to delivering that themselves, they should devolve the powers down to councils. The Belfast City Council has a very ambitious
plan. Can that be done, Seamus? I beg your pardon for interrupting, but again, it's something I'm not aware of. Can that be done? Could the Department for Infrastructure simply make a case for devolving, as you rightly say, that those funds to council areas, to council-run areas?
Powers have previously been devolved to councils under the Review of Public Administration in 2014 around things like planning. We were due to get regeneration powers as well, but that was blocked by the DUP at that stage. So there is a political consideration here as to whether or not the political parties in the Assembly would consider allowing such a move or measure to happen. But I think it's clear there's an issue here in terms of delivery. And the Assembly's approach to one-year budgets and a one-year budgeting kind of process around delivering active travel measures is not actually going to deliver the change that we want to see. So, as I said, either the Department for Infrastructure moves forward at pace to deliver schemes, or they should devolve those powers down to councils. And despite whatever political disagreements and differences we may have in Belfast City Council, there is a very clear agenda set out in the Belfast Bolder Vision towards transforming space within the city and opening it up for people. And we've seen what has happened whenever you provide more space for people to use that space through pedestrianisation, through expanding out the pavement cafe licences. You said earlier about the weather in this place. I mean, 5 years ago, people would have laughed if you had said that Belfast could have an outdoor cafe culture established. And yet, because of COVID, we have seen the rapid expansion of outdoor seating as part of the offering for hospitality venues. That shows that people aren't as kind of concerned about the weather as perhaps we would have maybe previously have thought.
A change in mindset. And Sustrans also, in one of their surveys, said two-thirds of primary-age pupils in Northern Ireland are driven to school despite half of them living within a one-mile radius. The school run creates huge unnecessary congestion and air pollution every day. Actually, on a science TV show that I worked on the last few years, we measured the air pollution outside a school, and we asked that the parents, if they could, walk their children to school over a three-day period, and then we compared the air pollution, and it had dropped hugely. Like, the difference was amazing, and you're thinking, this is what your children are breathing in. But also, one in four children in Northern Ireland is categorised as being overweight. And so, is there a situation there where we should be encouraging parents and students going to school that if they live close enough, they should be walking, that they shouldn't be dropped off causing congestion and air pollution? Again, a change of mindset.
Well, I've actually been working for the last number of years to secure a pilot scheme for a project called School Streets. And through Belfast City Council, we will be installing four air quality monitors at four schools this month across Belfast to monitor air quality like you have done. And in particular, to look at the difference in air quality around drop-off and pick-up times. We'll then use that data to examine whether or not we can put in place a school street scheme at each of those schools. And there will be another four schools that will be monitored after that. So it'll be eight schools a year that we're looking at as part of this pilot. We will then examine whether or not there is potential for limiting car traffic around the entrances to these schools at the times of drop-off and pick-up. And I've been to one of the schools in North County Dublin where they run this programme, and I was there at the start of Seachtain na Gaeilge. The teachers, parents and the other kind of educational assistants all had the kids out playing playing football. They were doing a ceilidh as part of the start of Seachtain na Gaeilge. You know, they had this space on the road to be able to use for kids to play and not be exposed to harmful car fumes. And it was just totally different. And within the space of 5 minutes, you know, from the school bell going, it was back to just being a normal residential road without, you know, kind of much difference to everybody in the area. But just for those kind of 40 minutes in the morning and 40 minutes in the afternoon, it was a completely different space that it was happy and fun for kids to be around. And as I said, significantly cleaner in terms of air quality.
And just to define, Seachtain na Gaeilge is a celebration each year of the Irish language, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, I'm pointing that out in that, you know, they had planned activities around,
yes,
Seachtain na Gaeilge on that particular day that I visited that school. But it affords the opportunity for schools to have, you know, structured play, kind of development within that kind of school arrival time in a space that they normally don't have. We are hearing from schools that are finding it difficult, particularly in urban areas, to get accessible space for play for children. So yeah, this is something that can help make a difference.
Absolutely.
In that as well.
Mike has been on to say, if there are less cars using the road, yeah, it's a good thing. However, less cars means that there's less road tax. There's less tax on all things car related, petrol, diesel, etc. So less money for road maintenance. Is it that circle would be broken and therefore there would be less funding for actually fixing the roads if there were fewer cars on the road? But then if there were fewer cars on the road, would it mean that there would be less maintenance required? However, someone else contacted us. Who was this? G said, the gas companies, the internet companies, they're digging up the roads, the telecoms companies, they're unable to fill in the holes properly and make them level. They've destroyed our roads and should pay to repair them properly. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case, G. Not in my experience. The biggest holes that I've seen, the biggest potholes, seem to be just on the major thoroughfares rather than those areas which have been dug up by gas companies, internet companies, whatever. But what's your view on the other point, Seamus? Less cars, less road tax, less tax for petrol, therefore less money for maintenance.
But it also means we'll be spending less in terms of the health implications, particularly around things like asthma and other respiratory diseases, because we'd be reducing the amount of kind of poor quality air that people are exposed to, and particularly children. And we understand now that the risks are greater for children as their lungs and their bodies are developing to be being exposed to car fumes, that poses a particular danger and risk, not just in terms of their health as a child, but also later on in life. And we understand there's a greater connection now between respiratory diseases and things like vascular dementia. So there is a greater, you know, if we want to talk about economies here and what produces a greater saving or what produces a greater return for the local economy, actually being able to cut down on the number of respiratory-related diseases, that would make a huge difference in terms of our health spending. So I don't really buy the argument that we have to perpetuate, you know, car culture in order to continue to bring in things like car tax in order to fund public services.
Mm. I suppose it's as you rightly say, it's that mindset that we have grown with, that this car culture mindset that has been perpetuated for generations and has built over generations. And it's about how to untangle that from our heads. And It's a debate that will be ongoing, Seamus. There's no question about that. We've had very mixed response this morning to the suggestions about the active travel funding and where it should go and how it should be used. Thanks so much for joining us and for illuminating all that for us. It's been very, very useful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seamus Te Fuaiche. And just to finish off, we got this in which said, it's a bit different sitting under a canopy, sipping coffee, than pedalling a bike down the Ormer Road in the lashing rain. And I cleaned that.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.